Blog Talk.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello.
Hey, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Cool. I got a request today. Somebody wanted to hear what George Carlin said about the American dream, so let me get that out of the way.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pocket. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got to get that up. So get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
Got that right.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other one I got was, they want to hear Obama's, they want to hear Obama's rant. Let me get that one out of the way, too.
Yo, it's your man, Blow Your Smoke, man. I ain't been here in a while, man. It's too hot for me to get into it. I'm not going to do a lot of explanations today. Straight stop it, B. This is to the government. The United States government. Yo, $14.6 trillion, B. all my credit cards would have been cut off a long time before that. Ask y'all to do is balance a fucking budget, B. That's all y'all gotta do. Son, we voted for y'all because we were worried about gay rights, marijuana getting legalized, all of these other things that we were concerned about. How can we get roads, more money for schools? Your bastards can't even balance a checkbook. A checkbook, B? This is something every American has to go through every week. We gotta figure out what we're gonna pay, what we gotta put off a little bit. You bastards got the $14.6 trillion before you realize, oh shit, we've reached the debt ceiling. How do you even approach the ceiling knowing you're close to the ceiling? Listen, you're the best and the brightest. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Cornell, this is what we put out. Should have went to Norfolk State. Bastards, you would have got the same education. You would have spent a whole lot less money. Simple fucks. All I'm saying to you is, and this isn't personal, this isn't Democratic or Republican, this is everybody. Stop being a dickhead and balance the fucking budget. My second question, though, my second issue is, how the fuck do you owe China, B? How do you owe China? How can I tell my daughter with a straight face that capitalism is a better system than communism if we're borrowing all of our fucking money from the biggest communist country on the fucking planet? You ass, get your... Oh, don't even stop it, B. Stop your life, B. Get your whole shit together. Get all of your shit together. Don't do another press conference. Fuck CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Don't do any more television appearances until you got my fucking budget balance. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Everybody who has a loan to the federal government, fuck paying it. Don't pay your budget. Don't pay your bills because they ain't paying theirs. The fuck I got to pay my bills for if you don't pay your bills? I'm not doing what you don't do. You're the leader. I'm following. You don't pay, I don't pay. How about that, simple motherfuckers? What is your credit score? What's the government's credit score right now? It's got to be a 350. But you motherfuckers going to tell me I can't buy a car if my credit score is at a certain number? Your whole life is a 350, B. Your FICO score, your Experian, fucking TransUnion, all your shit's low, B. Get your shit together. President Obama, personal to you, all the black people was proud. We got a black president. You acting like one right now, B. Pay your fucking bills on time. Stop. I ain't even got, it's too fucking hot for me to talk. I'm sweating and shit. Shit got me sweating. You know why? Because y'all ain't paid a fucking light bill on Earth. That's why it's 37 fucking states right now going through a heat wave. Because not only did y'all not pay the fucking Chinese, y'all didn't pay the fucking light bill. You see how fucking hot it is? I'm fucking, I'm pissed the fuck. I can't.
Oh, oh well. So did you get that email I sent you? Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, 403. 403.
This is. I'm already on the air, brother.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
Not bad, bro. Like I said, just healing here slowly, but getting there. Just right. want my throttle hand back before season starts.
There you go.
Yeah.
I got an email today from this guy in Indiana.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Concerning?
Concerning, okay. Radical Girl Scouts out to destroy American family values.
All right.
Uh-huh. This guy's name is, he's a state representative. His name is Bob Morris.
All right.
Out of Fort Wayne. He accuses the Girl Scouts of celebrating feminists, lesbians, and communists.
Ouch. you got to be joking with me.
I'm sorry. When I started reading this, but this is what popped in my head while I was reading the article once it hit the web-based research. I researched part of it and beyond, but my thoughts are this motherfucker's crazy.
Yeah,
I swear to God,
he sounds
most
off
of these
the
guys
wall,
don't have nothing to do with their time on our dime.
Where in the hell did he even get that concept from?
I have no understanding because, you know, it's not every girl's dream when they're younger to go brownies, Girl Scouts, you know, and so on. But there's ones that do because their moms want them in or whatever the case may be. Now, I was in all of it, and I never once thought anything of what this email read or stated, I mean.
Yeah.
So if that was the case, I would take it as they look at any female that goes in, any girl, I'm sorry, that goes into brownies, then advances the Girl Scouts, okay, is that's to be going to become a lesbian?
Well, here, let me get into this a little bit. Agenda behind those cookies the Girl Scouts sell. One bent on promoting communism, lesbianism, and subverting traditional American family values, according to this Indiana guy.
Oh, my Lord.
That's the reason that this guy, Bob Morris, he's a Republican representing Fort Wayne, insists he won't go along with a resolution meant to honor the Girl Scouts on the organization's 100th anniversary. Morris owns a chain of nutrition stores, but that's not the fat and sugar in the Girl Scout cookies that have him riled up. See, there's the ulterior motive. He owns a chain of nutrition stores. But after talking to some well-informed constituents, he did a small amount of web-based research, and what I found is disturbing, Morris wrote Saturday to his Republican House colleagues in a letter obtained by the Fort Wayne Gazette. I'll put that link up in the chat room.
That's amazing.
You know, it's not like people, I have never heard of anybody picking on the Girl Scouts.
That boy's been eating some cookies himself, and the hash must have been pretty damn good.
Exactly. He alleged the Girl Scouts and the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts have entered into a close strategic affiliation with Planned Parenthood, which he claims is trying to sexualize young girls through the Girl Scouts. Here we go. This fucking guy. He must be, like you said, he must be either that or he's smoking some real good fucking crack.
Well, he's jacked up.
Okay. So if they're going to look at Girl Scouts that way, what about the Boy Scouts?
Oh, there might be a priest in there somewhere, I'm sure.
You never know. I mean, you know, if they're going to talk about, you know, this taking place in regards with the Girl Scouts, could
okay.
you
here's,
just imagine?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, the women will
come gets
up with
worse.
For that one.
Yeah, it even gets worse. He wrote, only 3 of the 50 role models promoted by the Girl Scouts have even a briefly mentioned religious background. Here we go. He's tapping in on all fronts here.
Of course.
All the rest are feminists, lesbians, or communists, he wrote. As proof, Morris notes that the radically pro-abortion Michelle Obama is honorary president of the Girl Scouts of America, which should give us reason to pause before our individual and collective endorsement of the organization. After learning all this, he wrote, he pulled his 2 daughters out of Girl Scouts and instead put them in the American Heritage Girls Little Flowers, a parent-run group best described as Center for Recovering Girl Scouts.
Wow. Wow.
Now,
hey.
You know, you have to laugh at this because, you know, if I would have known that this would have taken place when I was in Girl Scouts, I don't think I would have been there, you know. But surprise, I came out normal.
Well, you know, I mean, you're not going to foretell the future, so you don't know. I mean, you're talking back in the 70s and stuff when you were in there, probably. I don't know how
yeah.
what your age is, Nora, but, I mean, we had it good in those days.
Right.
I mean, we were being attacked left and right. I mean, the Catholic system was. Other than
right.
that, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, everybody was safe. You know, I remember them days like hell.
And the only thing is, there's a lady, her name is Michelle Tompkins. She's the spokeswoman for the Girl Scouts, and she responded to Morris's assertions by telling NBC of Fort Wayne that not only is Representative Morris off the mark in his claims, it is also unfortunate that in limited research, he failed to discover that since 1917, every First Lady has served as the honorary leader of the Girl Scouts, including Nancy Reagan, Barbara Bush, and Laura Bush. We believe that leadership is about hearing from all sides of an issue before making up one's mind, Tompkins said. We only wish we had a chance to speak with the freshman representative before he distributed his letter. For its part, the Planned Parenthood of Indiana called Morris' comments inflammatory, misleading, woefully inaccurate, and harmful, saying he'd insulted not only it, but also the Girl Scouts and Obama. Planned Parenthood currently has no formal partnership with the Girl Scouts, but supports their mission and recognizes their century of contributions to our society. That was what the organization said to the same NBC station.
Well, you know, I mean, they raised a lot of money for a lot of causes, and they did well, and, I mean, they should be congratulated. I mean, we're pushing 100 years in America with that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to them. Good. I mean, I applaud them 100%. I mean, my sisters were in it. My mom was a Girl Guide counselor kind of girl and stuff. And, I mean, I got into Boy Scouts, but that didn't last too long. I was too busy on the street. So out the door I went. Oh, no, I couldn't do it. It's just I had music
no, I
going.
Didn't, I didn't,
don't shit.
Didn't do the Boy Scouts either. I did California or the Catholic Youth Organization.
Yeah.
EYO Boxing.
Yeah, that was big in the States or in Canada as well. But, I mean, just like mustard, the mustard plant, right? Not to throw you off here. It used to be called rapeseed. You guys know about this? $2.5 million women got together and boycotted the name rapeseed. It's a fucking plant, excuse my terminology. It's a, just a wild plant that turned into a domesticated plant, started making mustard out of it. They didn't like the name rapeseed. $2.5 million later to change the name.
Wow.
Amazing, isn't it? And today it's called mustard seed, not rapeseed anymore. They could have fed how many people with that $2.5 million?
Oh, exactly.
It's pure stupidity.
Yeah.
I mean, the deficit and everything, fine. Everybody's guilty on all points to a reasonable point. But it's stupid shit like that. Drain the money. Drain the money. One stupidity after another. And then one big stupidity. Bunch of small ones. A huge one here and there. And then our pockets are empty. Canadian money, American money, it don't matter. You know, it's just pure stupidity. It's stupidity. Beyond.
Hold on one second. Caller on Skype. Did you want to talk or did you want to just listen in? Well, something's going on there. You might want to call back from a landline. But, this guy, I don't know with this guy.
Yeah, I know he's off the wall. He's off the wall. He's just trying to make a name for himself as an idiot.
I think so.
Oh, there's a lot of people that do that shit, you know?
Yeah, he even looks like a doofus in
dragging behind a Harley for a little bit, that'll give him a little wake-up call.
Nah, I didn't want to do that.
Well, true enough, might get some shit on your bike.
Yeah. You know, it's just like the other day. I can understand Whitney Houston died, and she's from New Jersey. But also two Marines from that state of New Jersey were killed in Afghanistan on that Saturday. And the governor decided to, instead of raising or sending the flags half-mast for those two guys,
he did it
for Whitney
Houston. I seen that. That was pretty sick. That was low could be. I mean, what the hell is going on in your country, brother? I mean, hey, I love you guys. I'll protect you with my life, but, wow, you guys got a lot of issues going on out there. I thought we had problems in Canada, but, man, brother, you guys got
their
pocket.
It's everywhere. It's not just designated in one place, you know?
Well, no, true. I agree. I mean, people are going to have to start popping some caps, I think, before the government even acknowledges people anymore.
No.
Like, there's some nasty shit brewing. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And the father of one of the kids burned a flag.
Oh, here we go with the flag burning.
Yeah, because he was pissed off.
Yeah, and he could have went straight to jail for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
People went to jail in the 60s and 70s for that stupidity. Burn money, you can get thrown in the federal prison. Or stiff fine. It's your fucking money.
You know, it's just like... We're talking about, you know, Canada and the United States. There was a guy in Canada who destroyed Obama over the Keystone decision. You know what they were talking about with the pipeline?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Supposedly that was gonna give 28,000 jobs. That was the estimate. Now it's gonna get shit. And then this is what this guy said about that today.
Barack Hussein Obama, the first post-American president of the United States, has made a staggering strategic decision. He chose to continue buying oil from OPEC countries instead of Canada. Countries like Saudi Arabia, the source of 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11, Saudi Arabia, which to this day is the world's largest financier of terrorists, it's America's enemy. But Obama has decided he likes being Saudi Arabia's customer. There's something creepy about Obama and Saudi Arabia. I mean, look at him bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia. Americans aren't like Canadians. They're not a monarchy. They bow to no one. They don't have a queen, let alone a foreign king, a deep, servile bow. Let's run that again. Let's look at that bowing clip just one more time. It's crazy. Obama thought that by bowing to the Saudi king, maybe Arabia would love America more. Well, they don't. Obama's actually more despised in the Middle East, according to public opinion polls, than George W. Bush was. But Obama's decision today to buy oil from OPEC instead of to approve the Keystone XL pipeline is an especially big win for Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. Venezuela, the great ally of Iran. Venezuela, where Chavez has shut down opposition newspapers and radio and TV stations, where he has crushed labor unions and attacked aboriginal groups. Venezuela, another enemy of America. You see, Venezuela sells an enormous amount of oil to the United States, about 800,000 barrels a day. At $100 a barrel, that's $80 million a day. That's about $30 billion a year that America pays to its greatest enemy in the Western Hemisphere. Here's the thing. Venezuela's oil is shipped in by tanker ship to the Gulf Coast of Texas. It's heavy oil, by the way, which means that its carbon footprint is among the highest of any oil sources in the world. It has a higher carbon footprint per barrel even than Canadian oil sands oil. But the Keystone XL pipeline that was proposed would have added about 700,000 barrels a day in capacity, bringing oil from Canada's oil sands and the Bakken Formation in North Dakota and Saskatchewan all the way down to those same Texas refineries. In other words, the Keystone XL pipeline was a very specific challenge to one of OPEC's bullies, a direct substitute for Venezuelan oil.
See where we're going with this now?
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up, man.
It is. Well, you know what it is with Obama and Saudi Arabia? It keeps the war going. And people, I don't know why people are blind to this.
Yeah.
It is.
All right,
it's a major feed for the states, ego-wise, and wars make money. It's a proven fact.
Here,
it always has.
Down here in Canada, or California is always a little higher on gas than anybody else in the United States because we have what they call a special blend for the smog and shit.
Yeah, yeah, you're high octane.
Yeah, well
no,
yeah, right.
New York
I wish I could,
right now.
Well, I
New
wish
York
I could get
right
some high
octane. $10 a gallon.
Yeah, yeah, that good high octane is gone now. So,
just short of using airplane gas.
Exactly. It's like goddamn pure alcohol, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. But yeah, by summer here in California, it's going to be almost $6 a gallon. That's what they predicted today.
Holy Lord, man. That's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah,
people I know in New York, they're at $10 a gallon right now. And
yeah,
we're almost at $5.
Yeah,
now,
by summer,
it's going to even increase more here
in
Illinois.
Yeah, because like we're in liters out here with the metric systems, it's 1.29 a liter. So that would break it down to roughly $2.75
yeah,
a gallon. Which is high, for us, which is very high for us. In Quebec, they're paying almost $3.50 a gallon.
Wow, I paid $4.29 today.
Yeah, compared to Alberta, yeah, they're paying like $1.25 more, $1.30,
yeah,
give or take.
Let me get back to this guy.
Yeah.
Oil. So this isn't some abstract question about ethical oil versus conflict oil. This isn't an academic debate or a political talking point. This is a very specific, real-world decision. Today, Barack Obama made the decision. Who does Obama want to get its oil from? Canada? Venezuela? Well, he chose Venezuela by saying no to the Keystone XL pipeline. He chose Venezuela over Canada. He chose America's enemies over America's closest friend and ally. He chose the human rights violator, Chavez, over the world's gentlest country, Canada. Look at how chummy Obama is with Chavez. Look at them hug, for crying out loud. They give high fives to each other. That's how Obama treats an enemy of America. It's unthinkable that Obama would show such affection and personal rapport for Canada's leader, the democratically elected Stephen Harper. Obama treats his friends like his enemies, and he treats his enemies like his friends, and now he just made a decision to give Venezuela unfettered access to U.S. oil markets for the foreseeable future. Of course he did. Now, when Obama was running for president back in 2008, he promised he would do the opposite. Because he was trying to win votes from, you know, Americans. He wasn't sucking up to foreign dictators yet. He hadn't high-fived Chavez yet. He hadn't bowed to the Saudi king yet. Here's Obama promising to...
Well, like I said, you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
That's right, bro. That's a fact.
In Venezuelan oil when he was running for president. Look at this.
So if I'm president, I'm immediately going to direct the full resource of the federal government and the full energy of the private sector to a single overarching goal. In 10 years' time, we are going to eliminate the need for oil from the entire Middle East and Venezuela. We're going to just eliminate it in 10 years' time.
Two-faced bastard.
Yeah, but he didn't say he wanted to get off all...
Well, yeah, but it's election year. Where do you think he's getting his campaign money from?
Well, exactly. He's got to kiss some asses and babies, eh? You see.
Imports. The U.S. imports almost 10 million barrels a day. Of course, he can't turn off imports from Canada and Mexico, but he listed the world's evil regimes, Middle Eastern dictatorships, and that thug from Caracas, Hugo Chavez. That's what Obama promised in his presidential campaign almost 4 years ago, but he lied. Why did he lie? If you ask the White House today, they'll tell you that the problem with the Keystone XL pipeline proposal is that it passes over something called the Ogallala Aquifer, a precious source of water that must be protected. Well, that sounds like an amazing oasis. Maybe let's make something in a national park. Really? No. The Ogallala Aquifer covers a huge swath of the United States. I mean, many states. And this aquifer is crisscrossed by thousands of miles of oil and gas pipes. Look at those. Those are the pipes. That's the Ogallala Aquifer. That's a map of it right there. Thousands of miles of pipes. Many built decades ago, as opposed to the Keystone XL pipe, which would be built to the highest modern standards of technology and safety. You were looking at pink zone there is the Ogallala Aquifer, by the way. So it's a fake excuse. But guess what? Keystone XL's builder, TransCanada Pipelines, agreed anyways to move the pipeline route. They made that change last year. The new pipeline route is endorsed by both the Democratic and Republican senators of Nebraska, which was the state in question. Everyone wants this project to go now. Well, except Hugo Chavez and the Saudis.
Sure, because they're all going to get their campaign money.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Hello, 336.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm enjoying the show. First time I've listened, but, you know, I've got to chime in on this Obama thing. And
go ahead.
The whole, everywhere we've ever been in a war, we're still there. You know, the United States. We don't come home. And, you know, the thing is in America is the politics and the money are so intertwined. The idea of the American dream, anybody can be president. No, they can't. You know, you have to be a millionaire to be president.
Well, money is politics, brother.
Or working up there. And what really pisses me off about this guy, and I'm not saying that I'm in favor of anybody else, but what really pisses me is he lies like a dog. Every other day there's another story coming out. You know, today there was on the news they burned some Korans in Afghanistan. They're all upset. Well, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there, but what do you do with garbage? You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody's religion or anything, but these guys are over there fighting. You know, the whole scandal thing, every time something comes out of there, it's called some idiot took pictures.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. And as far as gas and oil in this country, that pipeline would have been a godsend for us.
For us too, man. For the Canadians as well, brother.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, America is really weird. And I've been around the world, and I'm going to tell you what. You guys got more guns than we got. You don't have the balance we got. It's this culture. Everything about it, it's just all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it's a smoke show. There's no doubt about it. But, like, I mean, it would have created tons of jobs out here. You guys, it would have been a lot cheaper for anybody to run a pipeline directly from Canada to your back door. I mean, fucking.
Absolutely.
You know? And they're burning billions and billions of dollars to reroute all these lines to this fucking country. Which, like Bill says, and the other guy says, I mean, they're fucking moral enemies. So feed your enemy a bullet. The other enemy feeds him a fucking gun that goes with the bullet. And the good guy takes one in the back.
There you go.
Well, these good guys are going to get fucking really pissed off. Excuse the F word. I'm just in one of the moods right now. Because, you lied about our country. You don't do that.
This is the last bastion of freedom, so you can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. I'm just in one of them moods, and it's got to come out.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you guys talk with some other folks, and I'm just going to listen, but I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Take care.
All right. Later, brother.
Hey, where are you calling from?
North Carolina.
Okay. All right, thanks.
And I'm spreading the word about this show.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one. Later.
You bet.
All right. So... let's get back. Let me finish up with this guy, and then we'll go from there.
Obama chose them. He also made a domestic political choice to go with the Hollywood airheads, like Daryl Hannah and other millionaire liberals who jet around and use the environment as a chance to appear really, really smart. So by nixing the pipeline, Obama probably guaranteed himself $20 million worth of fundraising parties in Malibu from starlets, plus the support of professional activists like Greenpeace and other lobby groups during his reelection campaign. And all those pipeline construction jobs, those men who are now going to be leaning on shovels, they're in states that were going to vote Republican anyways, I mean, Nebraska, so, I mean, who cares about them? Obama has made his choice. He's chosen to side with America's enemies against America's friends. He sides with celebrity airheads instead of Americans in flyover country, desperate for work in a massive infrastructure project that didn't need any BS taxpayer stimulus money to build. It was shovel-ready now. Obama made his choice. Fine. So now let's make ours. Obama made a decision that was not in America's interest, and he may pay for that in the election later this year. I hope he does. But whether or not it was in the U.S. interest is ultimately up to U.S. voters to decide. It's clear his decision was not in the Canadian interest, though. So let's start looking out for ourselves a bit, okay? I mean, let's look out for our jobs and our economy and our national sovereignty. Right now, 100% of our oil exports go down to the U.S., about 2.2 million barrels of oil a day. Now, that's great. But now Obama's saying no to a new pipeline and yes to our competitors. I mean, it's only common sense that we would build a pipeline to the West Coast now to sell oil by tanker ship to Asia, to Japan, India, Korea, Taiwan. Those countries together import more oil than the U.S. does. And in China, and in that country, it's by far the biggest market in the world, Asia is. Now, right now, all these Asian countries are buying oil from dictatorships. They have to. I mean, China in particular is so desperate for oil that it buys it from Sudan and Iran, countries that are under international sanctions from most of the rest of the world. So it's in our Canadian economic interest to sell our oil to China and the rest of Asia. And it's actually in our ethical interest, too, to take market share away from Iran and Sudan so that Chinese money comes to us instead of those rogue states. It is a moral improvement for China to buy its oil from us or Iran. Now, that pipeline to the West Coast is called the Northern Gateway, and it's proposed by a Canadian company. All Canadian decision, unlike the Keystone XL pipeline that crossed the U.S. border and so was subject to Obama's veto. Now, the Northern Gateway pipeline is all Canadian, but that's the problem. U.S.-funded American lobby groups have opposed the Northern Gateway pipeline. They're interfering. Let me say it again. U.S. groups are interfering with a completely Canadian decision to export our oil.
That's right.
Big U.S. foundations with strong links to the Obama administration have been meddling in our domestic affairs, jamming up our regulatory process for the Northern Gateway. I mean, New York's Rockefeller Foundation, for example, has spent millions opposing Canadian resource development. So has San Francisco's Tides Foundation. Close to $300 million of U.S. special interest money has flooded it.
You realize if they put that money, we'd have nobody living on the streets?
Exactly.
I know.
That's my point. That's my view on all of this, on every issue. I mean, there's no reason to have starving people in this country, your country, or anywhere else on this planet. You know, if everybody pulled in, stopped their bullshit, and got all their monies together, man, this planet would be one nice place.
Yeah, it's like Bill and I said last week that you're going to get Obama for another term, whether you like it or not, because the Republicans just don't have anybody that can do anything.
Yeah, it's basically a lockdown at this point. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You're going to get 4 more years of bullshit.
Yeah. But, I mean, if he would have got his oil and his fuel from Canada, it would have created jobs on both sides of the border. It would have made us tighter. You know, I mean, we do have our conflicts between you guys, and you have it with us. Nothing major, of course not. But just the little things, that's what sparks it. It starts the machine rolling, starts the machine going, and it picks up a little bit of momentum, and it gets rolling, and then after a while, you can't stop the damn thing. You want to stand in front of a snowball weighing 125 pounds coming at you at 200 miles an hour? I don't think so. Nobody does.
No.
Well, bounce that damn thing off a tree and break it.
Well, you know, that's just like in December when he signed that NDAA. I just put up a couple links in the chat room, but
okay.
We're gonna switch gears here because I'm tired of talking about Obama's bullshit.
Yeah,
I know.
Blame you. Man, that guy's getting a lot of goats, boy.
Yeah, but this one is this is like a World War Web advisory, and it's titled Cyber War, First SOPA PIPA, PC PIPA. 2105, and now we got House Resolution 2096, 3523, 3674, and 152S 2011. But with the NDAA 2012 in place and the EEA in the process to control the citizens, and House Resolution 658 enabling Skynet drones to surveil the skies, America's corporate controlled Congress now shifts its focus to fast-tracking cyber fascism. Sections 1021 and 1022 of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2012, Public Law Number 112-81, codify the Executive Civilian Agency CIA, Department of Homeland Security, FBI authority to arrest and hold indefinitely without charge or trial American citizens. Indefinite detention is claimed by Presidents Bush and Obama pursuant to post 9/11 authorization for the use of military force act, public law 107-40, and add to that the authority the option of military detention as well. Although President Obama assured in his signing statement that his administration will refrain from exercising the military options, 2 weeks ago we had five helicopters doing maneuvers up in L.A. And they built like a little base camp downtown. But the presidential signing statements are merely political documents with no force of law or penalty for breach. Besides, once the enemy Expurgation Act is passed, should American citizens' rights become an obstacle, our government will be able to simply revoke their citizenship, naturalized, or native-born. Fucked up.
Wow.
Yep.
Man, they're getting really crazy.
Yep.
Did you mention SOPA earlier as well?
Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, Stop Online Piracy?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually my daughter. I was chatting with my daughter today, and I told her I was coming on the show again, and she says, you know, talk to Bill, talk to Phil, and you should maybe make a topic of that. That's actually quite funny, because I was going to bring that up to you later on and maybe just throw it at you and see if you wanted to discuss that. But she said, yeah, discuss it with Phil. Maybe you can discuss it on the show, and I went, I'll do that, honey. And then you threw it in my face. I love that.
Yeah. Sorry, anybody that wants to call and chime in on this, I'll give you the number. The call-in number is 347-826-7753. But, it's like with NDAA in place and the EEA in process to control the citizenry on the ground, the corporate fascist elite that controls our government and our others next look to secure the skies. They accomplished that on Valentine's Day when their puppet President Obama signed House Resolution 658 in law and thereby authorized the release of up to 30,000 drones in American airspace, enabled the Department of Homeland Security wide aerial surveillance as 1984 meets the Terminator, Big Brother Skynet domestic surveillance nightmare that we could not end.
Yeah, I could see it coming. That's been in the cards for a long time, though, people. You guys know that. That's really nothing new, but it's just really coming close to home, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
I mean, to the point,
they range in different sizes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they have these little mini drones. I mean, that's what they're called. They're little spy bugs. Actually, they're no bigger than a cigarette pack. And
yeah, they got some that are as big as a chapstick.
Oh, they're as tiny as shit, and they fly, man. I mean, we have them here in Canada. I was at a military base with my son because he's in the Navy, and they were doing a display show on these things. And I seen one. The smallest one I seen was a pack of like the size of a pack of smokes, and it was all electronic. And this thing would go, for almost 5 kilometers, so that'd be roughly about 6.2 miles American. And you couldn't see it. That thing was so damn fast. I mean, you got a hard time recognizing what it is when it's in front of you, and all of a sudden, it's in the air, hovering over your head, gone, just gone. I went, holy shit, this is it. You're talking Star Wars? It's here. If Canadians have it, you can imagine what you guys have.
Okay, with this NDAA, here's something else that the FBI is worried about, and I'm going to put this in the chat room, okay? But I want you guys to listen to what I'm going to say here. Military-trained gang members worry the FBI, the CIA, and the Department of Homeland Security, as well as the Oklahoma law enforcement agencies. What they say is that we're better trained than the cops.
Oh, of course we are.
Yeah, now they're looking at us as the enemy, and we're not doing anything.
Well, they better
look at us. We'll figure that.
They're going to have to start looking at us as enemies because we're tired, and yeah, we can be their enemies.
We can be
real
tired and annoyed, but that doesn't mean to put us in that classification of, you know, we should be on a list. Why should we be on a list?
Ever.
Because we're upset.
If you're listening to my show, you're on a list. Because the FBI gave a company in Virginia, right outside of Roanoke, I think it is, $945,763 to listen to every every internet radio show.
Well, of course. Like I said, hey, we've discussed this before. I mean, they're plugging your rights away, one at a time. I was on Facebook, actually, and scrolling down and checking out my people and stuff and saying hello. And a buddy of mine had posted one up, and it says, if an American has 1 week's worth of food in one area, one gun, and cigarettes, he can be listed as a terrorist.
This is what it was. If you had 2 weeks worth of food in your house, you're considered a terrorist.
Okay, 2 weeks. Okay.
And
okay,
wait a
minute.
Isn't this ridiculous?
Now they're taking your fucking food away from your mouth, guys.
Wait. Listen. Okay. If you have 2 weeks worth of food, you're considered a terrorist. If you have waterproof ammunition, you're considered a terrorist. If you stockpile anything, you're considered a terrorist. They don't need a warrant to do it.
No, I know that. That was the part I was going to get to.
Okay, so what about people that shop once a month and they stock up?
Exactly. They never heard of Costco's before? People buying in bulk for cheap to
save
fucking money?
I mean, you got to have so much in toilet paper, paper towels, you know, floor cleaner, window cleaner. You stockpile, and I don't mean in a ridiculous manner. But say you get 10 pounds of hamburger meat and you section it out because you're not going to have hamburger meat every night, so you're going to have a couple roasts or you're going to have some steak or you're going to have pork chops, whatever the case may be. So, again...
Nora, you'd be in trouble if they take away all your baking mix.
Oh, I know. No, I wouldn't be in trouble. Everybody else would be mad and they'd be protesting because my cookies go everywhere and so is my banana bread. So, yeah.
You're going to start importing it to Canada to my house, honey? I want some fucking bananas.
I don't know. Can I do that?
Yeah, sure.
Some places I can't.
Yeah, don't make me pick up on your boxer shorts again.
No, we're not going back to boxers. Today's not a boxer kind of day. Today's just,
But seriously, I mean... To tell
Art's
people.
Not here, so Real's taking over for Art now.
Yeah, I know. Art's not here tonight. Where is that?
He's probably working. Sometimes he can get on, sometimes he can't.
Oh, all right. But, yeah, like I said, in regards to baking, because I do a lot of baking, and at Christmas time alone, I put out 230 cookies out in the mail.
Yeah.
That went everywhere. Well, in the States.
All right,
what I'm talking about, though. You know, if somebody shops just once a month and stacks up, and we're not a terrorist, it's just we may not have the means to go every single week to get a couple gallons of milk or, you know, whatever the case may be. So people will stack up. That's all I've ever seen growing up, people stacking, you know, once a month. So to me, it's normal. To others, it may not be.
Yeah. No. What's happening is the government is just closing the door. They're wrapping the big blanket around you guys, and you guys won't be able to breathe here. I mean, what do you think this place is going to look like in 5 years from now? Seriously, that's how close we are to just total anarchy. Anarchy on both sides of the border, everywhere. I mean,
you guys are
the front lines. We're the sidelines. But the shit is going to hit here, too.
Well, you know, because motorcyclists, period. Bikers, whatever.
Exactly.
It's all about the ride. I don't care what you ride, as long as you ride.
Yeah.
But we're all being taken down now as a threat to the country. Second-class citizens. Motorcycle clubs are not street gangs. All kinds of they just came out with one, the FBI, where they were saying that the veterans organizations who were wrapping the ride motorcycles.
Are they
considered terror? Well, no, they're already jamming up on the Christians.
Yeah, they are.
And why? Because they ride around preaching the Bible and they do what they can in regards to events. It's not fair to classify certain. It's not fair to classify any.
Yeah, but they're looking at Christians as a smokescreen. That's what you're missing here. You know, if you want to infiltrate your enemies, you don't act like the enemies. You act like the good guy. And then make your way through the door, and then you throw a fucking hand grenade in their food.
Yeah.
You got to be the good guy to get where you're going. You can't play the fucking the bad guy and hope to, you know, you attract more flies with the honey than you do with vinegar. Same fucking thing.
Yeah. That's true. Draw them in close and cut their throats.
Exactly.
So with the real world firmly under their control, our corporate fascist masters now look to dominate the virtual. And in eager pursuit of that aim, the otherwise seemingly gridlocked Democrats and Republicans in our House and Senate have been showering each other with the wave after wave of bipartisan support for so-called anti-piracy, anti-pornography, cybercrime, cyber intelligence, cybersecurity bills, which, taken together, put us in a global fast track to cyber-fascism. In our previous advisories, we warned you about the Stop Online Piracy Act, Protect IP Act, Protecting Children from Internet Porn, recently unveiled Cybersecurity Act of 2012, which is Senate Bill 2105, to the laundry list of Orwellian euphemisms and acronyms, some of which have been delayed, but none of which are dead. We now add 5 more bills you need to be wise to track, which I'll put them up in the chat room.
I mean, if they can find a way to protect children from that shit, I'm 100% for it. Nobody's going to tell me otherwise. But, hey, now you're playing with everybody here. It's not just the children. This is the job for the parents to deal with that, you know.
Of course, but, you know, it's
still legal.
Okay, well, how does the government protect the bullies? If we're talking about children here, okay, how are they going to protect the kids? They get bullied not only in school but online. How do they stop it? How many children have committed suicide or attempted to commit suicide because
bullying has been around since mankind started. You'll never stop it. It don't matter. You can remove every fucking computer off the planet. It's going to be in your back door. We had bullying when we went to school. It was there before me. It was there at your grandfather, or your great-great-grandfather. We're humans acting like pure fucking animals.
What I'm saying is, how are they going to stop that? It wasn't that long ago a girl committed suicide because she was bullied so bad online.
Well, if you get bullied online and you commit yourself to a tree, I'm sorry, but you have issues of your own. Nobody's popping you in the face. Nobody's ripping your gums off.
Wait, not necessarily, because you know what? How it starts online is because it first starts in the school. Because where my children went to school at, okay, there was a kid that was bullied so bad, and they did all these kind of pictures and everything online, humiliated him so bad. I mean, he begged his parents not to send him back to school. And in the state of Illinois, you can homeschool. There is no law against it, okay? But this student showed up at school early, hung himself in front of the school from the tree.
I'm sorry, Nora.
And the school wouldn't do anything. My daughter was being bullied in school, and they wouldn't do anything. But the more I said, the worse it got. Okay,
yeah.
I got as far as an attorney. I could have won, but she'd still have to be in the same district. So where do you go?
Well, I mean,
where do you go?
There's got to be a way to monitor this. I mean, these computer kids and shit. There has to be a way to stop this. I mean, as a parent, as an adult, as a student, something. There's something lacking, basically, in a family structure, period. These kids are not because the government says you can't strike your kids. You can't smack your kids when they fuck up. Listen. I took beatings. Guaranteed fucking Phil took a smack or two when he grew up. It was a good thing.
Oh, I did too.
I'm sorry, but it was a fucking good thing. You know what?
But that was old school. You know?
Exactly.
You
I'm fucking 51 years of age, and I told my mom in my 40s.
Oh, you old fart. No.
I told my mom in my 40s, you know, Mom, You should have maybe.
That's all right. I'm in my 50s, so don't worry about it.
You should have gave me a few more, I said to her, you know? When we took a beating, we knew we fucked up. We were man enough to take our smack upside the head. And we grew up to be damn good kids. You know?
Exactly. But when I went to.
We fucked up when we were older and done stupid shit, but we never hurt kids. We never hurt our friends.
When I was a kid and going through Catholic school, I didn't see anybody bully anybody in the classroom.
Exactly.
Outside of school, when I saw it, I stomped on it. I was not the bully type, but I protected the weak.
Yeah. See,
and
I mean,
I
was Catholic school. I was a Catholic kid, too. And I'm sorry, man. I mean, the Catholic system might have its flaws, but I tell you, they pull out really great students with ethics, joie de vivre, everything. You know,
right.
Sure, you're getting scraps at school like everybody else. It's a natural thing. Little kids wrestle around, turns into a fight. No big deal. Our fights came after school. But in school, we behaved, everything. After school, we had a little scrap, went home for supper. Ah, you forgave about it. Next day, didn't even last. You know?
Yeah.
But you had family structure in those days. When Papa slapped his hand on the table and said, it's enough, you shut up. It's enough.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
it's done. Today, you got kids going, what'd you say to me, Pop? You fucking hit me, and I'll sue you. That's how they react today, and they say it. So the parents are threatened because the government says you can't raise your children. The government tells you to raise zombies by medicating them. The government tells you to raise assholes because you can't smack them, so they do whatever the fuck they want. The government's got to go.
Well,
that's where your problem is, people, period.
This one's dedicated to the government and something you'll never hear on the regular radio, and I'll be right back.
Well, I'm glad you're here, girl.
Restore all the kids look at me like they thought I was Santa Claus. And their mamas don't like it, so they turn the shopping carts around. Mama shoots me a dirty look. She thinks I'm just a greedy rebel without a cause. But it's fear that mostly makes them people put us down. But I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you. That's right. I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it,
fuck you.
In the restaurant, the maitre d' gets nervous cause I ain't got on a tie. But who'd ever thought a hairy-ass biker would drink French wine? I just finish off the steak and I have a glass of brandy and a slice of apple pie. Then I leave the biggest tip that the waiter's seen all night. Still, I like to ride big motorcycles, and I like to eat pussy too. And I like to kick the shit out of punkers and faggots, and if you don't like it, fuck you.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good statement. I love that song. It fucking says, it says it all, man. Yeah.
It does.
It does. It covers all spectrums.
It does.
Yeah.
That's better than the seven words that George Carlin used.
Oh, yeah, the seven words you can't say on television. Yeah, fuck, when you come out with that, man, that was the hottest thing on the radio and TV. Well, I've seen Carlin twice, live. And last time I seen him was in 84, actually, on Kiss FM in Calgary. I had just happened to call in, and I asked a Jimi Hendrix question. I got it right. And next thing you know, I had two tickets for that, an extra large pizza, and a case of beer. It's fantastic. Drank the beer, ate the pizza, and went and seen George Carlin, man. It's a beauty. It's great. So how you guys doing, really? Seriously, how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing a lot better than I was earlier.
Yeah,
I
love that.
I had a nice ride home. Other than that,
busy day. How's your Dinah doing?
Dinah's running like a top, man.
Is that right?
Ride it like I stole it every day.
Yeah. Well, I was watching Sons of Anarchy, a little rerun there, and I thought he ran away. I went right on. Wonder how Phil's enjoying himself there. Well, not right now, I'm sure, but...
I'm enjoying myself right now, trust me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got this thing in my head. I don't know why. I thought, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I thought you were in New York for some reason or other, and I went, no, man, he's in fucking California. And I still got New York in my head.
Yeah, it just so happens that the server and everything that I use with this service is out of New York, but...
Yeah, because it comes up New York on my phone bill. See, because I don't have Skype minutes, so I'm on my phone right now, and I was looking at my phone bill before I got on the show, and an hour and 62 minutes, $3.82 to talk to my brother and all the people on the panel and whoever else calls in. Not a bad deal, my bro.
Not a bad deal. And like
not
I said,
a bad deal, and it showed up New York. So then I started thinking again today, I'm going, I fucking knew it was New York. And then I went, no, he's in California. And then you just mentioned California. So, yeah, a little tossed around here.
He would be closer here if he was in New York, but no, he's in California.
Yeah.
Well, when you're thinking like that, do me a favor. Put the pipe down while you're thinking, will you?
Smart ass. That was a good bit, man. I deserve that one, I guess. Take your beatings, Ray Al. Shut up.
But... it's like anything else.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
I stole the line from this guy. He's this Iron Bolt Bruce, but it's no more left, no more right. Time to unite and stand and fight.
Hey, that's a beauty.
There you go.
You got to admit, that's a good one.
Right.
Yeah. Just like 3 against 1,000, the toughest 3 we ever fought. You know, I said that, fuck, for years. That's got to be at least 20 years old, and it's in my back pocket. I throw that out once in a while, get people laughing.
Oh, it's just like the other one. The two enemies of the people are criminals and government, so let us tie the second down with the change of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Who said that?
That sounds so damn familiar. It's got to be George.
No.
No?
I'll read it again. Two enemies of the people are criminals and government, so let us tie the second down with the change of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Second guess.
You got me, man. My brain is just not working tonight.
Thomas Jefferson.
I've heard that line. I love my history and shit, and it just escaped me. But I knew the line as soon as you said it. It rang so true. But, yeah, no, I went blank on that, Phil.
Yeah.
Thanks for refreshing my memory there, Dinah.
No worries. But it's like... There's just so much shit going on, man. It's unfucking believable.
Yeah, no, it's crushing everybody. I mean, fuck, you guys won't be able to breathe. And like I said, it has to come over. I mean, we're your neighbors. It's got to touch here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, do you guys have the smoking ban in Canada?
Oh yes, a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You know Canada. I heard Canada doesn't like to be the hat on the United States, but that hat should have on the front of it should have known associate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we got the smoking band out here. That started shit 6 years ago now. That's in bars. That's in everywhere. I mean, if it's a place with children, I agree. Don't fuck with kids. You know, I didn't smoke in front of my kids. As two-faces people may call me, no. I even told my children, Dad, don't smoke. And I was trying to get off the fucking things. And I won my battle. But I was not going to expose my kids to that. I didn't like the idea. And that was my choice as a parent. My kids don't smoke today. Maybe it was their decision. Maybe it was a little help from me. Wherever the fucking good lining may be, if it was my doing or they're waking up to the reality of it, they're not smokers. And I'm very happy for that. But you don't put kids in that area. You know, if you can save them from that, you'd save them from watching your husband beat you up. You know, so you'd save them from anything bad. I mean, that's the way I look at things. I just love kids, man. But yeah, no, it's like I said, they're starting to squeeze, and you know, you fill up a balloon with air and you start crushing the fucking thing. It's going to go sideways, up and down, to the left, to the right. But as soon as you get it at that one little fucking spot, she's gone. That's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what do you do? You know.
Well, what's going to happen is people are just going to lose ground, and then they're going to get so pissed off. You're going to have a little street war to make a little scene, then it's going to be the government's going to get affected, and then street wars, and then racial wars, and then religion wars, and then there's going to be one thing after another. The domino effect is going to start, and it won't stop, and nobody's going to stop it. You're going to bring in the army, then the boys, whoever, whatever, parents, brothers, sisters, clubbers, whatever, they're going to get pissed off. People are going to get straight fucking getting killed. I mean, it happened. Martin Luther King trying to make peace. Everybody lost their minds. Blacks against whites. I lived in Detroit, Michigan at the time. It was murder capital of the world.
I got news for you. The the motorcycle rider is being treated like the blacks were in the 60s right now.
Exactly. That's my point. You know, and we're fucking riders enjoying life, doing what we have to do to survive just like everybody else. But don't put clubbers, riders, whoever on the fucking top shelf and say they're priority.
No.
This guy's second. This guy's third. And the little Girl Scout cookie guys, they're going to get it down the road. No, but that's what they're doing. They're setting, it's a fucking chessboard, people. And I'll tell you, the government's got the king right now. Well, where's the queen when we need the bitch? Okay. The queen's getting stronger in a sense because people are starting to realize what's going on. But she's going to have to move eventually. Are you going to follow the queen or are you going to stand on your own? You better stand on your fucking own.
Well,
because the queen's going to get taken.
When I'm
because
ready
she's
to go,
too strong.
This is
she's
what
a
I'm
fucking
gonna...
threat. We're the queen, brother.
Yeah. When I,
and
when
we're
going to
get plugged.
I...
We're going to get plugged because we're a threat. We're a fucking threat. Just like food. Hey, what are they going to do? If you got a day's worth of fucking food in your saddlebags, you're a threat? Because you're going somewhere? You're running
well,
to
here.
Canada? You're going
this
to see Real Moore? Are you going to Real's house?
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
this is
come
what
on over.
Do
I'll
when
fucking
I leave.
Take you in.
Here, listen to this.
Data enough. Come on, puppies. Enough.
They fucked it up. This should be it right here. What he said was, he pulled out and he said, where are you going? Nowhere. Come on, I'll take you there, because that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Just going to get on it one day and disappear.
Fucking right. If it's got to be done, man, it's got to be done. Who knows? Like I said, you don't have a clue what what's in store for you guys right at the end of the road. Nobody does. It's just a matter of reading the signs and knowing when to turn left, man. You don't want to be riding in the gravel doing 120 kilometers an hour. So you're going to slow down a little bit, but as soon as you hit that pavement, man, your fucking throttle's fucking wide open. You're out of here.
Exactly. Hey, I got something coming in from the other side. I gotta play this so I can fight this bastard off. I'll be right back.
All right.
Okay.
No, now we're talking. My Skynyrd, man. Ronnie Van Zant. Rest in peace, brother.
Okay.
All right. Got her all set. Got her all
set. Yeah, we're good to go now.
All right, brother.
Oh, we can breathe.
But what I wanted to say was, I'm reading here what Bobby wrote, and I know he's waiting for someone to call him, but he asked the question, with so many big issues, what should we focus on? Homeland laws are small compared to the crap being dumped on this country. That's true.
100%. That's everybody's point.
Well, I fight, yeah, but everybody, it's like anything else. You got to choose and pick your battles. Some people think that's more important to them than other things are to other people. So,
right.
When I do my show and I go over the topics and as you know, Nora, you wanted to be a part of this and I send you stuff to read and
right.
get your opinion on it. And I do that with everybody that helps me out when Bill's not here. So
yeah.
anybody that wants to talk about whatever, send me an email. I'll put my email address up in there. And then whatever you want to talk about, I'll give you the mic. You can have the whole 2 hours, whatever you want. Plan out your show.
Well, we've covered all different topics in regards to the rights, everything. But, I mean, we're not limited to just any, per se. You know, it just depends on if we want to focus on something or like we're doing tonight, throwing it out there to see, you know, who's open to talk about whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is a nice, quiet evening at the moment. Everything's fine. But what you're doing, Phil, is fantastic. I appreciate everything you've done. And great topics, by the way. And, we're just rolling with the show. And just like you would with your life. I mean, you're picking topics. We have to pick our battles, like you say. And it's so true. I mean, people have to make their own decisions where they stand. Family first, brothers first. What's happening in your life? I mean, choose. You got to do that. I mean, that's like I said.
Whatever happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast and in between.
Oh,
whatever 100%. Happens in Australia is going to happen in Canada and it's going to probably eventually happen here. But the only thing that stops it from happening here is we have the Bill of Rights. They haven't figured out how to step on that yet, all the way. There's partially stopped on it, but not the way they want to, you know.
No, but I mean, that's where they're starting. They're starting to crush that, you see. You can't have a Bill of Rights when you don't have rights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's crazy, you know.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we lost a rights a long time ago. Just nobody saw it.
Yeah, I mean, you guys dropped the ball. I mean, I'm not saying you people per se, but the government definitely dropped the ball a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, and everything was just slowly going. You know,
well, it's running rampant now. I mean, it's not full speed, but it's... See, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. That snowball effect I was talking about earlier. Put that tree in front of it, and you got to find the tree. Where is that fucking tree?
Exactly. You know, and if you do find the tree... 9 times out of 10, somebody's lifting their leg to piss on it.
Yeah, or chopping the fucking thing down, you know? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, time to pull the axe away from their hand.
Exactly.
True.
Yeah. You got to take that weapon.
Okay, here. I'm gonna let George Charlin tell you guys. This one is called You Have No Rights.
Swearing on the Bible. You understand that shit? They tell you to raise your right hand, place your left. This stuff really matter, which hand? Does God really give a fuck about details like this? Suppose you put your right hand in the Bible, you raise your left hand. Would that count? Or would God say, sorry, wrong hand, try again? And why does one hand have to be raised? What is the magic in this gesture? This seems like some sort of a primitive voodoo mojo shtick. Why not put your left hand on the Bible and let your right hand hang down by your side? It's more natural. Or put it in your pocket. Remember what your mother used to say? Don't put your hands in your pockets. Does she know something we don't know? Really important? Well, let's get back to the Bible, America's favorite national theatrical prop. Suppose the Bible they hand you to swear on is upside down. Or backward. Or both. And you swear to tell the truth on an upside-down, backward Bible. Suppose the Bible they hand you is an old Bible and half the pages are missing. suppose all they have is a Chinese Bible in an American court, or a Braille Bible, and you're not blind. Suppose they hand you an upside-down Chinese Braille Bible with half the pages missing. At what point does all of this stuff just break down and become just a lot of stupid shit that somebody made up? They fucking made it up, folks. It's make-believe. It's make-believe. Now, all right. Okay. Let's leave the Bible aside. We'll get back to the science fiction reading later. The more important question is, what is the big deal about swearing to God in the first place? Why does swearing to God mean you're going to tell the truth? Wouldn't affect me. If they said to me, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God, I'd say, yeah. I'll tell you about as much truth as the people who wrote that fucking Bible. How do you like that?
Yeah, I've always loved that little skit. It's fantastic.
You've got such a good point.
I mean, I almost refused the Bible in court on a couple occasions. And, man, do they get fucking offended. Oh, my Lord. You can't go there.
You know, it's just like I found something here while I was playing that. But what it is Congress moves to abolish the motorcycle-only checkpoints, which Oceanside had one. I was just like an hour short of getting it stopped. Cycle-lane checkpoints have rubbed up a concern in Congress, and the wording is recently inserted into the House Highway Bill that would bar the U.S. Department of Transportation from providing grants to local or state government for such discriminatory inspections. It arose over motorcycle-exclusive roadblocks set up in Georgia and New York under federal safety grants that would single out motorcycles from four-wheel traffic for police to check the bike rider for proper paperwork, helmet, exhaust, and equipment violations. Science and Brenner out of Wisconsin, who sponsored H.R. 904 to ban federal funding of motorcycle-only checkpoints, applauded the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee for including his bill's wording in their February 1st makeup of the transportation measure, saying it's encouraging to see that the Transportation Reauthorization Bill will encourage more efficient use of taxpayer dollars and smart motorcycle safety policy. Motorcycle riders are right to be outraged at being singled out for safety inspections. Added Tom Petrie out of Wisconsin also. Taking cars down for unscheduled inspections, and there's no good reason why motorcycles should be treated differently. An unnecessary, intrusive, and not smart way to use limited police resources. Section 507 of the H.R. 7, the American Energy Infrastructure Act, reads, prohibition of funds to grant helmet usage or create checkpoints for a motorcycle driver or passenger. The secretary may not provide a grant or otherwise make available funding to a state, Indian tribe, country, municipality, or other local government to be used for any program to check helmet usage or create checkpoints for a motorcycle driver or a passenger. The House bill, which also provides federal funding for state motorcycle programs and funds for motorized trails, will now go to the full House floor before going over to the Senate for consideration. The Senate will consider their own version of the highway bill, and a final version will be ironed out in the conference committee. So, that's where we're at there.
Yeah, it's simply amazing, man. Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, there's a lot.
It's unbelievable how the laws are changing. It's just every day there's something new. There's something coming up. You read it in the paper, you hear it on the news, whatever the case may be. It's to the point of we're going to get to the point of what do we do? And as Ray said, at one point,
Ray's fine.
When are they going to sit there and say, when we can breathe?
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
See, that's what they're doing right now is stopping you from breathing.
We know about surveillance. We know what we need to do. But the majority of the world does not, and they keep going, and they don't realize. You know, now it's actually fine. It is stated, it's actually fine that you can be surveillance. in some
state. Yeah.
And they don't need a right. They don't need a reason.
No.
No, exactly. And what they're also doing is they're trying to get with the FAA so they can get more airspace.
Right.
It's getting real crowded up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can understand, like we talked about shows before today, in regards with what's going to take place here in May. I can understand that for those 3 days. Who knows what that's going to turn out to be. It's going to be unbelievable, I'm sure. And it's going to go nationwide. You know, something's going to go bad. They usually do. But, you know, something like that is one thing. But to just do it because they feel like chiming in?
Well, see what they're doing, you guys, and, I mean, probably as guys as well, to a degree. I mean, but you guys are being tested. You guys are being pushed to the limit of your breaking point, and they're going to push to see how far it'll take before that little rope snaps. And you guys are the rope. So they're going
to
push.
Yeah, but you have to understand it's worldwide. It's not just here in the States.
Oh, no, I understand that.
Right.
I understand that. What I'm concerned about is my American friends and myself. I don't give a fuck about anybody else right now. I love my English friends. I love my Australian friends. I got people all around the world. I was born in Paris. What I'm talking about is North America.
Right.
Okay. They're pulling your string to see when you're going to break. Well, that string, when it breaks, is going to fucking jump over the border. We're going to start tugging on that fucking chain or the rope because maybe our government sees a little something that your government likes or the other way around. They're going to start pulling on that string. That string is going to tie to us, and then they're going to start pulling to see when we're going to break. See, that's why, man, that shoelace has got to go.
Right.
Well, you know, they required the FAA administrator, number one, was to develop a plan to accelerate the integration of unmanned aerial drones into the national aerospace system, and two, to report to Congress on progress made in establishing special use airspace for the DoD to develop detection techniques for small unmanned aerial vehicles and to validate sensor integration and operation of unmanned aerial systems. It also directs the DoD secretary to establish a process to develop certification and flight standards for military unmanned aerial systems at specific test sites. Yeah, so it's going to be called the Skynet Surveillance Enabling Act of 2012. Drones, perhaps best known because they were only going to be used in combat situations.
That's a fact. Yeah.
Guess what? Now they want looking to share a room in the U.S. skies with passenger planes.
Well, of course. I mean, they have to keep. That's how they. That's what I'm saying, people. They're going to start monitoring you to the breaking point. They're going to start taking your bills of rights away. Yeah, they're going to start tapping into your phones whenever. They don't need a fucking court order anymore. They just do it. They don't give a shit. I mean, Watergate in the fucking 70s, you got this, you got that. That's what happens. And then, that's the momentum I was talking about. They start fucking with you and fucking with you. And after, how many slaps in the face can you take, Nora? Phil, myself, whoa, you give me one good one, I'm going to rip your fucking head right off.
But tempers are short. The economy is bad. The housing market is bad. Taxes are up, you know.
What does that have to do with drones and tapping phones? That's what I'm saying. The ball is rolling. It's fucking coming. It's coming at you guys
so
quickly.
I mean, let's look at it this way. All and most of us have them. The smartphones, those are the easiest ones to get. And tag. For what? If we're not doing anything. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's just like here in California. We have what they call the California Step Act, where if there's three guys standing on the corner, we're all wearing the same support shirt. Now all the cops got to do is say, hey, Sarge, I think those guys are up to no good.
Right.
Hey, fuck.
Yeah,
fuck.
That's right. That's a fact.
I mean,
that in Canada as well.
It's your dress attire. Right.
Yeah.
It's your dress attire.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, so now you're being profiled.
It's beyond profile.
Right.
You're in the fucking black book now. Now.
Right.
That's it. They got you in the cage.
Hey, last week I had two guys from Homeland Security in an unmarked car follow me.
Shocking. Simply
exactly.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody here is doing anything wrong. We're talking about different aspects of the law or different aspects of things that are changing. So where is anybody doing anything wrong? I know, but you can't do it.
Oh, come off the cloud. Whatever happens, whatever happens, they don't need a reason.
I know. Oh, trust me, I'm not on the cloud. But I'm just saying, other people would look at it that way. You know, like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And then I have to sit there, wake up. Wake up.
Yeah, that's right.
It's new life as we know it. There is no privacy.
Yeah. I seen this, and this is no bullshit of a lie. I was in Calgary, and there was three guys, and I knew they had robbed the place. Because a friend of mine had told me about it. And the cops were looking for them. They didn't really know who they were looking for. And it was two guys with support shirts on, and they went right for them. Right. The other guy, the guys that actually did the job got away. The cops went right for the fucking support patch. They wanted them, like, they thought that's it. And I fucking standing across the street, and I'm sitting there laughing my ass off. I'm going, my fucking God. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if that's going to happen. One plus one makes two. They were on them like white on rice. The guys had alibis. They had. They weren't even around, man.
You know what? You know what happens? Here's the guy. This is. I'm gonna let you listen to something. Just listen, then I'll tell you what after.
You betcha.
Why you bother, Lena? What's wrong, Daddy?
I know what's wrong with that crazy motherfucker. He's just standing by the goddamn window with that fucking AK all day. You don't work, you don't fuck, you don't eat on the goddamn.
That's where we're going.
Yep.
Yeah.
By the window with an AK.
It's so true, man. It is so true. I mean, you guys got to start be getting some shivers about what's going on in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wake up fucking happy anymore. You don't go to work happy anymore. Everybody's looking over everybody's backs. You pick up the phone to talk to your wife, your woman, whatever. Is it fucking tapped? Can I tell her I love her without getting slapped across the head? You know, that's where it's going.
Yeah.
That's where it's going. Where's the handcuffs? You already got one clamp on. Where's the other?
I mean, I've already had conversations with Bill where... I've had to interrupt him and say, hey, not on the phone.
Well, you have to do that. You have to. You got to sweep your phone. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's pure hell. It's pure hell. And I feel for you guys so bad because you guys are getting hit left and right and fucking center. And we're watching the blows over here, wondering when that fist is going to come and smack us in the face. I mean, and our hands are tied together. We're North America. We're your brothers. You know, we might be peaceful people. But don't fucking piss me off, because my smile will fucking shrink to nothing. My mouth will look like a fucking peepee hole, man. That's how fucking tight it will be.
Wow.
Get the fuck away from me. Okay?
That's not a picture I want to get in my head, but... Hey,
that wasn't my best analogy, now was it?
No, there are another analogies.
Hey, we had to throw in a little laugh now. Come on, work with me here.
Hey, this... I'll play this song. This one is called War by Attica 7, Rusty and the Guys.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, ain't that the fact?
That's it.
Yeah, it says it all, Phil, 100%. Like I said, I mean, earlier and on the many occasions, it's time for everybody to just really open their eyes and see where they're at with all this and make that decision. And Nora agrees with that as well, because, I mean, family members, it don't matter. You got something to fight for. You're going to have to pick a side and figure out where in the hell you're going with this. And it's going to get ugly. It has to get ugly before it gets ugly.
We're going to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, you're in the fucking handbasket, my brother.
Nah, I'm fighting to get out.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And never fucking stop.
No.
Because you stop your momentum, you're going to be in front of that snowball. You got to keep moving. That's a fact. Man, I mean, I don't need to be lecturing you, brother. You know it.
Yeah. So what else? What's this I hear about this? Hang on a second. I wanna. Let's see. I saw it here today. Okay, here, Canada. Monty says he didn't mean to obstruct justice by drinking vodka.
I missed that one completely. I never heard that one before.
Yeah, it says an off. I'll put it up in there.
Yeah.
I'll put it up. But what it says was this Mountie, he got accused of obstructing justice in a fatal motorcycle accident. It says he downed two shots of vodka immediately afterwards to comfort himself not to thwart the investigation. Monty Robinson said Tuesday that he drove his children home from the crash site in October 2008 and got them settled and ran upstairs and then drank the alcohol. Well, he probably didn't have the bottle in the car.
Oh, he was drunk before, that's all. So he knows the cops are going to pick him up. He goes home, does his shit, goes home, drops the fucking booze. Oh, I drank at home, not in my car.
He's a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman.
Well, yeah, well, fuck our Mayor Ralph Klein at the time. I mean, he was in Parliament for a long time. He still is, actually. And he's had 5 hit and runs under his belt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he drank with the Reapers and shit when I was hanging with the brothers. And he was always at the clubhouse, just popping the booze. He's a big fucking drinker.
Yeah.
In pairs, left and right. 5 hit and runs. Never charged once. Never.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You and I do it, we're fucking hanging from our balls.
Yeah. Well, it's just like in New Hampshire. They've been fighting this motorcycle noise ordinance.
Yeah.
And now I understand they've come into a compromise.
What's
a compromise on the bill would change the testing standard for motorcycle noise rather than lower the permitted decibel level as originally written. The current noise test was designed for off-road motorcycles and is inaccurate and impractical for quick roadside tests, say the amendment supporters. They say the police's inability to accurately test for noise violations allows a few motorcyclists to ride loud bikes residents complain about. The original bill would restrict motorcycle noise to unreasonable levels, they say, but it would not solve the problem.
Leave the loud pipes. Why do they have a hard time with that? Loud pipes saves lives. They just don't get that. I don't understand that.
No, I don't either.
You're surrounded with cages. I want to fucking be heard. I got straight pipes and it'll never fucking be changed. Never.
The chief of police in San Jose has aftermarket pipes on all the police bikes because he says he wants his guys heard and seen.
You fucking right.
Yep.
Now, I mean, the highways you have in California are crazy. You got traffic like mad. I mean, we have nasty highways. Not so much in Alberta, but you go to Toronto on the 401 where I used to live in Windsor, 210 miles west of Windsor, you take the 401. Well, now that's a 4-lane highway on each side. And the minimum is 140 fucking kilometers an hour. You got tractors, tractor trailers. You got your cars zooming in and out. Man, you're going to Toronto. You want to be heard. I don't give a shit. And the way, I mean, how fast they're moving, don't matter if you got loud pipes or not. I mean, if they want to cut you off, they're going to cut you off. But in the normal city, You want to be heard. Plain
exactly.
fucking simple.
Exactly.
We want you to wear a helmet for safety, but we're going to take you to the pipes that show that you're there. Does that fucking make sense?
No.
Not to me.
A lot of things don't make sense anymore, man.
Of course, but those are the laws they're going to throw in your face, though, aren't they? That's the first ones. Why? Because they're testing you. That's the breaking point. Those are all little things. They all add up. They all add up. We know this.
Well, it's just like in California, 2013, everything gets grandfathered in.
Of course it is.
Before 2013. After that, everything has to be compliant.
Wow.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
You can't, no more aftermarket stuff. They're trying to figure out how to do it now, but it's not gonna, I don't think it's going to happen. But
you guys are hit very hard in California.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse.
Well, it ain't going to get better, that's for sure.
No.
You know.
And then I got something I wanted to share with you guys about a guy. Let me get this going here. Oh, man, here we go. Let's see. Yeah, it's SB-435, but, yeah, like I said, there's no way that you're going to have a California Highway Patrolman get on his hands and knees on the side of the road after you just went 20 miles at 80 miles an hour and check out your hot pipe. But this right here, this guy here, it's called Delivering One Last Gift, and it kind of tells its own story. So this is something, a little good news that happened today.
Wow, nice.
No, for some reason I loved that truck and first ended up remembering that.
It was a gift, an anniversary gift.
My dad had a 59 ship.
I put the link up in the chat room.
Okay.
Bruce Hayes knew how much this truck meant to his wife, and he knew how much she meant to him. So he searched and searched until he found it.
I walked outside and he was like, look what I found.
The perfect gift. But it was in anything but perfect shape.
And it was all in pieces. Literally in pieces.
But that was okay. They had built a life and a family together. They would do the same with this.
He wanted to do it together. He goes, I was thinking we could do it together.
His love guided Bruce Hayes' life for his family and something else. Bruce Hayes was a soldier, a captain in the Wyoming Army National Guard. He was being deployed to Afghanistan. Finishing that old truck would have to wait.
What I remember most is we all got an assignment.
An assignment that would take Bruce Hayes up a road to a remote village near the Pakistan border. In his path, a roadside bomb.
And on 17th September, around 5:30 in the morning, he was killed.
When Chaplain came to the door.
Gone. The soldier, the husband, the father. But he had left one final gift. Remember that old pickup truck? Well, before leaving, he had paid a local mechanic $17,000 to fix it up. It was to be a surprise.
And after he was killed, the guy took the money and ran. It was very difficult.
The money was gone, but not the memory of the man.
Part of Bruce is just in this truck. He always saw things to the finish.
And now the best way to honor a soldier, a friend, was to finish it. Well, they stripped away the rust word about this project.
This is a new life.
From literally all across this country,
Massachusetts,
came the pieces that would finish what Captain Hayes never got the chance to.
I mean, so when you get that kind of feedback across the country, this is going to be a community truck.
An engine from Longmont, parts from literally everywhere, all put together at Stevenson Automotive in Denver, while students at Wyotech and Technical School in Laramie worked to make an old truck.
Decided to go to Venezuela and take Canadian oil.
To help two little girls remember their dad.
She asks me all the time to tell her stories about daddy. So I'll be able to.
I think Venezuela is an enemy of the state.
So all started.
This project has touched many lives.
They all came together with a family.
Oh, my God.
The job done, just the way Captain Hayes would have wanted. A different Chevy Apache pickup that will forever remind a family of a husband. In the end, Captain Hayes' one last gift for his family was delivered by the community, the same community Captain Hayes died for.
Thank you, and God bless all of you. You've done such a beautiful job, and Bruce would be so honored.
In Laramie, this is Last Wish. This is Dave DeLosier.
Yeah, you guys, if you want to see something really, really sharp and a whole community came together, go check out that link.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem, man. I was just putting my sweater inside out here so I can fucking put it on. I'm telling the old lady, I says, I'm going to fucking miss something. I better hurry up. And then with my fucked up finger, man, it's not pleasant. I tell you, when you got half a finger hanging there and there's all tendons and shit at the other end, you just breathe on it. You can feel everything. A pain in the ass, or pain in the hand at this point, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where do we go from here?
On the right road, brother. That's all I'm fucking hoping for everybody. Like I said, I really feel for everybody because it's so close to home. And
the only way we can go is into if we build certain types of homes where you can't get access through the satellite and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, but I got news. If your phone, you think you turned your phone off, you didn't turn it off. They can turn it on and listen to it at any point, unless you take the battery out.
No, I know. Or some people have gone as far as they put them in the microwave.
Exactly.
Yep.
But now we're getting down to the last few minutes, and just want to say thanks to everybody that joined in. And
for coming to the show as well.
Exactly.
Thursday night, same time, same place.
Yeah, no, it's a privilege to be here, Phil, and Nora, and
I'm the Tuesday is the only night I'm here. No, just kidding.
Yeah,
don't make him push that little whatchamacallit button there, that little poke button.
The mute button? Oh no, he does that if I'm talking. In the chat.
When you were telling me about that, I started laughing.
I get a timeout.
Yeah, she asked me. She says, "Hey Ray, what the hell is that poke button for?" I says, "It's because they like you." And then she had another idea. Somebody told her it was sex, and I went, "Well, if it's about sex," I said, "If it's about sex," I said, "I am one horny motherfucker because I poke everybody."
Well, you know, one of the guys sat there and was just razzing me. Well, I believed it at first because I kept asking, "What the hell is this poke button? You know, what does it do?" And I said, "Because I get poked all the time." And he's like, "Oh, well, you didn't know?" And I'm like, "No." And then he tells me it was for sex. I'm like, "Oh, my God, I'm never poking back."
Cyber hooker, man.
And then after, because he's like, "How many pokes do you normally get a day?" I said, "I don't know. Sometimes it's like 200.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
Then.
Hey, moneymaker, man. Holy Lord. You got your mortgage paid off. You're
all right." No, it used to be like over 300. But then I had to get rid of those goofballs because they were just goofballs, you know.
Yeah, well, you never know. This line might be tapped right now, Nora. Don't tell the government how much money you're making.
I don't make any money.
If you're getting poked $200 200 times a day, you ain't making no money?
No.
Damn. Somebody talked to you the wrong way about business, woman.
No, this is the pure Catholic way.
Oh, you're a sweetheart, Nora. We love you. We got to pick on you a little bit, have some fun here.
I know. It's okay.
Well,
you know,
family now.
Sometimes
you know?
I fall for it, and I keep telling people it's just a blah moment screaming out of a brunette head.
Uh-oh.
It's okay. Hey, I'm always good for
getting down to the end. I'm gonna let Rudy actually tell take us out with a little Forever Angels, and I'll see everybody back Thursday. And like I said, if you got something you want to chime in about, or you got a burning desire, or you just want to call somebody up and tell them to get fucked, we could do that too. So.
Oh, sweet.
Well, I appreciate one thing, Phil, is the fact that, like I said, I spoke with my daughter this morning, and she told me to bring up SOPA, and you happened to do that. So when I tell my daughter that, she'll probably go, come on, Dad, don't pull my leg, and I'll say, hey, listen
to the show. Tell her to go read the blog. There's some really good articles there.
She'll do just that, because that really pisses her off.
Which, by the way, today we're at 49,833 people have looked at it today.
Fantastic.
We're doing good.
You're getting a great audience, man. And you deserve
absolutely.
It, Phil. Yeah, and Nora,
so,
too.
I'm gonna let these guys take us out, and I'll see everybody back here Thursday. And like I said, if you got anything you want to do or anything you want to say, I'll put my email address up in there, and just send me an email. We'll go from there.
Sounds great. I'll be checking my emails, buddy.
Have a good night, and then we will talk soon.
Yeah, both of yous. I love you, and you guys take care.
Love
right?
you back.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
You betcha.
Good night.
Gina.
Huh?
Here, come here. Check this out. Huh? Some girl that was working for her.
They're still on the phone?
No.